Think upward. That's going to be kind of our topic today. You want to always think above this earth, because you're really not of this earth. You're of the Father. And that's where you came from, and He's returning to us. And that makes it really, really nice. But you've got to train yourself, especially if this generation, as we come into the fig tree generation and are there, to know that we must think upward. The word in the Greek is ano, A-N-O, and it means from above, to think from above. And we're going to begin, because of the coming of the false one, you got to know where you came from and that you have no part in him. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians, the great book of Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 3. And we're going to take this subject, think upward. Always think ahead, plan, and plan your, just as you plan your life. You know, that cuts out a lot of error, cuts out a lot of mistakes. Always have a backup plan, and always plan well, and you'll be successful. To think upward is to be successful, is to be positive. And when you think upward, that makes you a can-do type person, one that can cut it. And that's what God is looking for. Why? Because He can. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it reads, "If ye then be risen with Christ, if you believe in Him and are risen with Him, for He certainly defeated death, seek those things which are above." I know, that is above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He sits there for you to make intercession, to assist you, to help you. And do you know what our Father's thinking while He's doing that and while you're thinking above? You hold your place there, but go with me to Psalms, the great Psalm 68. And we're going to take it there. And let's see what our Father would have to say concerning. He's thinking about His city. He's thinking about His hill, which is to say Mount Zion. And when you think above, let's pick it up, Psalm 68. And let's pick it up with verse, say, 17. Or better yet, that'll be fine. Verse 17. "The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place." He takes care of His own. And He has an army always available to assist His election. Verse 18. "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also," He takes care of that business also, "that the Lord God might dwell among them." That's the point. He came as the Son, as Savior. And now He sits at that right hand with and for God. Why? For you. Verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. That means pause the music a moment and think. Going to connect something with that. "He loads you with knowledge, with information. He protects you. He cares. He also cares about the disobedient. He takes care of that business also. He's real handy at it. He knows what we need. He knows what they need." So think upward. No. This is not playing games, and it's not playing church. This is a reality. Christianity is a reality. He promised He would send that one. He did. They crucified Him. He now sits at the right hand of God. He hears you. He's your representative. And He can load you with gifts. Not talking about monetary gifts, but talents, knowledge, wisdom, ability, so that you can help His people. That's what He wants. He cares. And most God's elect have compassion. They care also. Verse 20, to connect the thought. "He that is our God is the God of salvation." That means He likes to save people. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. In other words, you escape from it into eternal life. You have eternal life when you're with Him. One more verse. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp, the long scalp, of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Our heavenly, one more. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, that's fruitful, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. God loves His children, and He's going to gather them. Why again? He loves them. He loves His children. Returning to Colossians, think above. Think of your Father. 20,000 chariots plus more. Really, in the Hebrew, it's thousands and thousands. But He's in charge. He loves you. He hears you. He has gifts for you, talents, to help you be a member of His family. For when you think above, you are born from above. And to be born from above is to be in that kin, that family of salvation, God being that God of salvation. Verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections, that's to say your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. Okay? You know, this, why? For ye are dead, that is to say, when you believe and you resurrect and live with Him, this earth is kind of past history. It's a temporary thing. It may be 60, 70, 80 years for some. It's all right. It's temporary. We have an eternity ahead. Okay. And your life is hid with Christ in God. That is to say, you have eternal life. Why? Through the Son. That's the only way that you can attain it. For when Christ, who is our life, that is to say, eternal life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I don't know. Do you want to part in that? Or do you want to go to hell? You know, it's your choice. It's your ship. You sail it. You make those choices in your daily life, how you're going to live. That's why you want to think upward. Anno in the Greek. Think ahead. Think of the glory that your Father has for you. And be not a part of the wickedness that happens in this world. Places where there's religions that teach it's okay to burn people and things of that nature. Why? Because they won't believe as you do? That's fine. God takes care of that type of business, okay? God is judge. He is the judge. We don't judge. But we do take care of business, okay? And this, we're speaking here of eternal life, and when you think above, it gives you a clearer understanding of this world and what's in it. Sometimes it's not good, but still it's what God created, and it will be our eternal home. For God shall return to this earth and set up His kingdom. For while we were reading from Psalm 68, He's talking about His hill, Mount Zion. And He's going to manage it. He's going to take care of it. You may even be there if you follow Him, if you're part of that family, to have a part in it. Okay. Mortify, or you make dead, therefore, your members, that's to say, your mind that might think bad, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, that means lust for certain things, evil concupiscence, that's to say, desire, that for even to the point of being profane, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I don't want you to forget that, which is idolatry. This is what hurts God, is when you allow the accursed thing to slip into your life from the world. That's to say, false religion, false teachings other than what your Father teaches, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Don't you ever let this man or any other man mislead you. Always check them out in this Word, the Word of God. For our Father loves you. He cares for you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you have that eternal life with Him. You can get messed up real easy on this earth if you allow yourself to. If old Satan just whispers in your ear, it'll be okay. Come on, come on, come on. want to teach you something. Don't listen, my friend. Never argue with Satan. Just say, get out of here. Get away from me. Okay. In the name, of course, always of Jesus Christ. And think upward. Think of our Father and what He has waiting for you. Verse 6, for which things shake the sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Because of those things, God's going to punish them. It's going to happen. And you don't have to look very far. You won't wait till the eternity to be punished for it. You'll get punished today. Okay. Why? Well, you know, a lot of people will say, well, I'll just do a few drugs. You know, just a little. Next thing you know, they've lost their family, their marriage, in their home, and they're in the gutter. Oh, yeah, it doesn't hurt much, does it? Be wise, think upward, and be responsible for yourself. Don't try to blame things off on other people all the time. You stand solid and you take responsibility for your own life, okay? Because you answer for it to Him. And when you ask His help thinking upward, He's going to help you. You're going to make it fine. Verse 7. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You remember, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. This doesn't mean you can't have a sense of humor. It means actually cursing God and meaning it. Okay. It means not being able to get along with anybody. Why? Because usually you're stressed out. A Christian shouldn't be under stress, okay? You've got to know God cares. He knows how to take care of business. You've got to trust Him. When you begin to get stressed, I want you to always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It's God's promise to you. He says, there's nothing going to happen to you that doesn't happen to everybody. So what? Okay. And then He says, I will never test you or allow you to be tested what you can handle. If you get tested a lot, guess what? God's proud of you. He thinks you can cut it. Because the next part of that verse is, I will never burden you with more than you can bear, and I will always show you a way out. Christ is that way out when you think upward. So don't get under stress. That's not really very Christian to get under stress and stay there. Take care of it, okay? And know that Father is with you. Verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You know, if you've had a regeneration, a rebirth, born from above, thinking above, being from above, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, and after the image of Him that created him. God said, let us create man in our image, and God created Himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, to show you how to do it, show us all how to do it. And so we do. How precious our Father is, that He looks down and He knows you. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. Sometimes identical twins can have the same DNA, but you're still unique. And God made someone just like you so that He could love you, and He wants your love in return. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, that's the very worst kind, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Regardless of who you are, when you receive Him, when you think above, that's what's important. You have a place among your people. God always, He created His people because He loves His people. And you have a responsibility to your people in Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. I don't know. Are you one of God's elect? put on the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels, that's to say your very heart of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Long-suffering means patience. And you know, that's one of the downfalls of some Christians. I want it and I want it now. Okay. Got to have it my way right now. But you got to remember, it's God's will that must be done. If it isn't God's will, you don't want it. Okay. That's a bad path. Okay. Think above. Let God help you. Let God lead you. And know and understand that you are a child of God. He loves you, and what He wants is your love in return. So be long-suffering. Have lots of patience. Lift people up when they're down. Doesn't take much. Doesn't really take much other than to say, it doesn't matter. We can fix it, and it's going to be a good day. God knows. Okay. Encourage people in the Word. Learn the Word. That's why that knowledge on your regeneration is so very important, that you can share it with people. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't be ashamed of it. Never apologize for the Word of God. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. That's hard for some people. But do you know, Christians, what the hardest thing in the world for them is? And man, I'll tell you what, I've counseled people. It's to forgive themselves. Christians just won't hardly forgive themselves. They expected, well, I thought I was perfect. Well, you're not, okay? So you might as well repent, forgive yourself. It's marked clean, doesn't exist, and get about God's business, okay? So remember, if you can't forgive yourself, God's not going to forgive you, right? He loves you. He knows people make mistakes. Well, I just hate to tell him about it. Hey, he can read your mind. He already knows. Okay. You're not holding anything back from him. There are no secrets with him, okay? 14, and above all, these things put on charity. That's love, okay? Which is the bond of perfectness. That perfectness, translated maturity. You want to be a mature Christian? You want to be a mature person? When you're a child, maybe you can think as a child, but once you mature, mature. You mature in Christ. That way you can help people. And what is most important and foremost? Charity. That's to say love. Loving our people, loving our Father, and helping in this world by thinking upward. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Do you give thanks to our Father for your meal? Do you give thanks to our Father? Well, let's say that you had to drive here today, and did you thank God for having wheels, or would you like to have walked? Okay. Thank Him for the ride. Okay. You know, are you overemphasizing? I intentionally. Okay, because a lot of people will say, well, what do I thank Him for? He just picks on me all the time. Well, I would too. Okay. You know, you gotta get up with it, handle it, okay? But thank the Father. For the very air you breathe, okay, thank Him. Always be thankful. Do you know something? It means something to Him when you thank Him. He smiles. He loves it. So don't forget. Thank Him. Okay? And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, you can be happy in Him. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And that's the way you do it. It gets His attention, my friend. When you bless Him, He's going to bless you. He always will. You cannot get ahead of our Father in love, for He is love. And that love abounds in Him. He cares about you. Think upward. Think upward. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians. Back up a book or two. Following 2 Corinthians, you'll find that book of Galatians. We're going to go to chapter 4. I want to pick it up in verse 26. The subject is, think upward, and know in the Greek tongue. Think upward. Think better. Okay. Think of your Father. Verse 26, chapter 4 of the great book of Galatians, and it reads, but Jerusalem, which is above what? Above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, of course, which Jerusalem is above? You know, the new Jerusalem that comes with him, of course, but Jerusalem of day. But the important thing to a linguist, what does the word Jerusalem mean? That's where you pick up the subject, so you've tuned in. That's wisdom. Habitation of peace. Okay. So let's read it again. But the habitation of peace which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. And to have that peace. Peace from whom? From our Father. He gives you that peace, that understanding. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Do you know what old Sister Babylon said in the great book of Revelation? I'm a queen. I'm no widow. Okay. Now, she's got her God, all right, as Baal, it's Satan. And those that are barren are God's elect that don't participate with false teaching. We have an Ishai in the Hebrew tongue, which is to say a husband, which is our Father. And we're true to Him. We think above. And we look to above. He leads us. He guides us. Do you know why it's written, woe to those with child when I return in Mark chapter 13? It's not a mother carrying a child in her womb. It's those that religiously or spiritually impregnated in their mind with false teaching. He wants you to be barren, to stay true. What did Jesus say in Luke 21 when he was carrying the cross up the hill? 23, rather. Luke 23. The daughters of Jerusalem were crying their eyes out for him. He said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep rather for those, for yourselves. For blessed will be the day when the barren come forth. That's God's elect, okay? That don't participate in false teaching. That don't participate in Satan, the false Christ teachings, and that would gather you to him. For his message is, I've come to fly you away. You want to know who you're flying with, okay? That's why you think above, so that you have that wisdom and truth to know and understand. 25, for 27. For it is, we got that, okay, 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise. In Christ all are. Let's get that straight coming out the gate. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is now. Christians are going to be persecuted. You can count on it. Don't sweat it. You don't even have to bother about it. But by that I mean, people kind of mock religion, especially true religion. Don't worry about it. There's nothing new under the sun. It's always been that way. But you have eternal life. They don't. That makes a big difference. Think above, okay? Verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall be an heir with the son of the free woman. Verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Why? Because of Christ. Christ brought that salvation in to all people. The bondwoman, her child, Greek, Jew, anyone that would believe upon him receives that eternal life. This does not change the obligation or the duties of God's elect one iota. Nor does it change the duty and obligation that a king or a queen of the ethnos has to their people. That obligation is still there as God's elect. And you are free in that. That's why you want to think free. Think above. And know. You see, God had a purpose. You might say, well, why did he do that to Hagar? Because it was through Sarah that the Christ child had to come, and the Christ was the Savior of all, even Hagar. It had to be. Our Father knows what he's doing, and our Father loves all of his children. Okay, that's just the way it is. Our Father created them. He loves them. He created all people for his pleasure. And when you stop giving God pleasure, you're in bad shape, because that's what he created you for. You might think of that. Turn with me to John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8. Jesus will be talking with some people here that are written of in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 3, 9, who claim to be of our brother Judah, but they're lying, okay? They're of the synagogue of Satan. They're the children of Cain. But Jesus still talks with them, and you can learn a great lesson from it. I'll document that at the close of the teaching in this 8th chapter. St. John chapter 8, let's pick it up with verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. What? They were sinners. Didn't believe. Made light of. Crucified Christians. Then said, 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. Naturally, they didn't understand that, see. He was going to the Father, and they couldn't come there. Why? They're sinners. Big time. 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Think upward, my friend. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. In other words, you live in this world. You commit idolatry in this world. I'm higher than that. You're not gonna find me here. Because I'm upward. I'm from above. And that's why you have to think above, my dear one, to reach him, to understand him. I speak spiritually, of course. 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, Messiah, you shall die in your sins. Why? Messiah is the only gate to the sheepcot, okay? Salvation. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I've told you over and over and over again. It's still the same. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. I don't know, can you listen? Do you think upward? They didn't. You've got to think upward and be in tune, and most of all have that charity for him. And then your spiritual mind opens, and you gain that wisdom and that knowledge that he sends. 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Isn't that something anyone should know? Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, that means crucified him, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. It's the Word of God. He was the Word of God. Okay. How would Jesus know they were going to lift him up? How would Jesus know they were going to crucify him? Because it's written in the Word, Psalms 22, 1,000 years before the fact, before it happened, it was written that he would be crucified. It is even written what would come out of the words of the fake priest. It would come out of his mouth. In the Scripture, Psalms 22, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Let me tell you something. Father will never leave you alone if you love him. Do you know something? He's got time for you. You may not think he has. That's why he created you. That's why you're different. He loves you. He wants you. When you make his day, he's going to make yours. I'm going to tell you what, don't ever try to con him. Boy, has he got your number coming out the gate. Don't ever kind of con him. Be honest with him. And he'll be honest with you. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Okay, and on he goes then, verse 30. And he spake these words, many believed on him. They always do, but look at this. 31, then said Jesus to those Jews, which, this is Iudas, residents of Judea, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You're my students. You're going to learn. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It always does, my friend. I don't know, are you all bound up? Do you feel like you're all tied up and you got no place to go or anything? Then learn the truth. And let the truth free you. Set you free as a bird. To be prosperous. And to utilize common sense in serving Almighty God. Okay. And so it is. That truth will always set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Well, now, if they were Abraham's children, they'd been in bondage 400 years. You got it? They're kind of trying to even lie to Jesus here, okay? That don't fly, friend. Doesn't cut it. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, that's truly, truly I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You keep lying to me like that, and I know whom you're a servant of. That's what he's saying. 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Why would Jesus say here in a moment, I know you're the seed of Abraham? Well, let's read it. 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. Think above. Be free. 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You see, what does the word Abraham mean to a linguist? You got to know, okay, to understand this. The word Abraham in the Hebrew tongue means father of many nations. So he's the father of all. Why? Because through him would come Christ. And in Christ, all are made free. But Abraham, spiritually speaking, is the father of all. That's why God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Okay. That's why, even though they were Kenites, they had a right to be called the children of Abraham if they believed. Okay. Verse 41. Listen carefully. Think above. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They're getting a little impatient. Now Jesus lays it on them. 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In other words, Christ was walking the earth. He was healing leprosy. He was making paralyzed people walk. He was raising some from the dead. What evil thing had he done? Nothing. What did they have against him? because people believed him and they were losing membership in their little religious groups. Because he had the truth, they didn't. 43, why do you not understand my speech, Jesus says to them, even because you cannot hear my word? You don't have ears to hear. Ye are of your father the devil. Now the truth comes out. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Whoa! Who is he calling them then? Well, I don't know. What kind of Bible student are you? Who was the first murderer? Well, let me see. It must have been Cain. Bingo! Move that person right to the head of the class. And Kenites are of Cain, his children. That's what Jesus is telling you. Okay. Can a Kenite love Jesus and be saved? Absolutely. I have to teach that Jesus Christ has the power to save anyone if they don't play games and if they believe upon him. And so it is. Okay. So, but here you've got the children of Cain and they're refusing him. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? He hadn't committed any sin, beloved. If they made something up against him, it had to be a lie. Okay. Do you know what the final lie was? He said if we killed him, he'd rebuild the temple in 3 days. Well, he did. The many-membered body of Christ. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That makes it pretty plain. Don't be deceived, friend. There are many deceivers moved out into the world. And they like to mislead people. Well, who do they claim they are? Well, Jesus in Mark 13, which he wrote directly to the elect, where you're going to witness against them, by the Holy Spirit speaking through you, he said, don't let them deceive you. They come in my name. They claim to be Christians. That makes it pretty hard for somebody that's not well founded in the Word of God. You've got to be able to spiritually discern spirits, to know who has the truth and who doesn't. Well, how can I tell? By the Word of God. It's so simple a child can understand it if you just let it flow. Don't make it complicated and don't let some individual stir up the water and muddy it where you can't see the bottom. That is to say, stir the scriptures till you can't see the truth. In the simplicity in which Christ taught, a child can understand what Christ just said. A child knows who the first murderer was. There's no big mystery in that. So be careful and think ahead. Final and in closing, one more scripture. We are in St. John. Let's go to the epistles of John. Right before the great book of Revelation, with Jude in between, I hasten to add. I want you to go to the first epistle of John, chapter 4. We're going to cover 7 verses and we're going to quit. End of this subject of thinking upward, thinking higher. Don't think on earth level. Be born from above. That, you know, that's what it really says in John chapter 3, rather than be born again. And they go on and on, be born again. Well, the Greek is born from above, meaning from God. Think above. That's when you're successful. Chapter 4, the first epistle of John, and verse 1 reads, listen, this is common sense and a child can understand it. You're going to get a lesson here from the Word of God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's going to tell you how to test the spirits, okay? Very simple. Verse 2, hereby, or by this, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That is the spirit that acknowledges Psalms 22, the crucifixion, the resurrection from the dead, and the fact that he's at the right hand of God. Okay? Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. You want to know who the Antichrist is? This means instead of Jesus. It's Christ, supposedly Christ's teachings, but it's not Christ teaching it. Therefore, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. There are many religions. There's only one Christ. There's only one truth. God loved the world enough that he gave his only begotten Son. One. There's only one begotten Son. That was Christ himself. It was written long ago it would come. Now what about it? For ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think upward. Always think upward. Think 20,000 chariots and God's angels have the attention of God at any time they choose to protect his election, to see that things go according to plan, and they shall. And well, how then can I tell? Look, if they teach Jesus Christ and they teach him crucified and resurrected, do you understand what it means when you teach him crucified? You've got to teach who crucified him, why they crucified him, and then you kind of begin to know why John 8:44 came into being, so you know the Kenites. And that's why in Revelation chapter 2:9 and chapter 3:9, if you're not in a church that teaches those that claim to be of our brother Judah and do lie and are the synagogue of Satan, those are the only two churches Christ was pleased with. You're either in one of those or you're in a heap of hurt. You're not discerning. So if it doesn't give Christ, it's false. And that offends many people in the world. That's tough. Tough stuff, okay? Because it's written, that is the word, that is how it is. Verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Oh boy, does it hear them. Oh, you bet. Turn on your boob tube sometime and listen. You know, maybe your children shouldn't hear it. Because, boy, they lead people down Primrose Lane, right and left. Verse 6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. They'll make fun of you. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This is how you tell the difference. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. That's charity. That comes number one. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born. Underline that word, born. That's above, from above. Of God and knoweth God. Now here we have born, which is regenerated. That's what it means. You know where it comes from? The prime root in the Greek is kin. You're kin to him. He's your father. And he teaches in that spirit of his. That Holy Spirit abounds in this earth whereby, and that Spirit touches, and that Spirit knows those that love the Father. That's why love comes first. You can't con God. You can't play church with him. You're either real or you're not. And our Father knows his servants. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the spirit of discernment. We thank you, Father, for clarifying so many simple things in your word, Father, that even children can understand the beautiful teachings of that word, the word of God. Let that spirit come into our very group, Father, around the world. Let it bring that truth, that freedom, and free all peoples from ignorance, Father, and into the light. And Christ is that light. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.